You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Joining us once again is Sina Sharp, who is Principal and Managing Director of Sharp Market Intelligence. They deliver current, accurate, and relevant information for strategic decisions. And as an example of her expertise and reputation, one of the world's major book publishers, John Wiley, invited Sina to write the book, Competitive Intelligence Advantage, How to Minimize Risk, Avoid Surprises, and Grow Your Business in a Changing World, which has already received almost 70 five-star reviews on Amazon, a huge number for a niche business book. It's noted as easy to read, very practical, and includes more than 60 real-world examples, and it's available as an ebook as well. Sina, welcome back to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be with your audience again.
It certainly is, and I understand you've got a lot of exciting things coming up. We'll touch on that in just a minute, but you cite an example in your book of how Will Smith, the actor, used intelligence to become the performer generating the highest revenue and that it applies to every business. What did he do exactly?
Yeah, this was such a surprise to think that an actor was so strategic and did everything right and everything that a business should do. If you remember, he first gained fame as a rapper in the late 1980s, and then he won mass appeal in his television show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was hugely successful. But he decided to leave after about 5 or 6 years, even the show, though the show was at the top of his game, because he wanted to move into films and felt that was the moment to do it. But he didn't just wait for agents and movie studios to approach him with things. He took a very deliberate path to that, to achieving his goal, which was to be the actor that generates more revenues than any other actor in the world. And that's a huge, tall order. So what he did was that he and his business manager, developed a strategy that was based on market intelligence. He didn't use those words, but that's exactly what he did. And it's directly applicable to every business. And I know that because we've worked in more than 200 industries in numerous countries, and good business approaches work the same way in every country. So the first thing he did was he did research. And he found out what other movies had the highest grossing amounts of all time. So he got a list of the top 100 films, and he analyzed it. And he noted that what they had in common was that the top 10 films all had special effects. 9 of the 10 had special effects and creatures, and 8 of the 10 had special effects, creatures, and a love story. So his first two movies had all of these elements and made a huge amount of money for that time. This was in the mid-1990s. He continued to follow that pattern for the next several movies. He gave the audience what they wanted. Once he was firmly established as the highest generating revenue actor, he made the movies he wanted to make. They did okay, such as the movie about Muhammad Ali, but not nearly as well as his earlier movies, which were directly catered to what the audience wanted to see. In other words, businesses very often say, I know what the customer wants. Actually, the customer tells you what they want. And the more you connect with the customer, the greater success you're going to have. Doesn't mean you'll fail without it, as he did with the movie about Ali. He just didn't do as well as when he gave the audience what they were telling him they were buying. And we see that every week with the movie revenues. In other words, find out what your customers want. He didn't follow his major competitors. In those days, the two major actors were Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks. the movies that Will Smith made were very different than the movies that the top two, the most popular actors at the time, were making. So the bottom line is, don't follow your competitors. Give your customers what they want. Find it out by doing good, solid research. That is, base your decisions on current, accurate, relevant, objective, and sufficient information.
Outstanding. Now, why do you believe that trying to beat competitors is a waste of time?
Yeah. You know, most companies believe that competitors are what keeps them from success. That couldn't be farther from the truth, except in very, very rare cases. Companies think that if they know everything about their competitors or they destroy their competitors, that they'll be successful. No, no, no. That very rarely happens. Instead, there are many companies that can be successful in the same industry. Business is not a zero-sum game in which one side wins and the other side loses. That applies to war and it applies to sports, but not in businesses. You can have many companies in the same industry that are successful. That is, whether it applies to pharmaceutical companies or retailers, restaurants, social media firms, radio stations, manufacturing firms. There are lots of companies that succeed in the same space as you. What you want to do is, rather than focusing on your competitors, is to give your customers what they want. And that's how you beat your competitors, by being more appealing. Customers, for the most part, don't care about competitors. They only care about getting what they want at a decent price that's reliable. They want your product or service to do what they need. And they rarely care about the company that sells it to them. I mean, think about if you were going out to buy a car. There are more than 600 models of cars. I doubt that any one of your listeners considers more than a half a dozen different cars. All the other 595 models are not even competitive. They're not even on the radar of your customer or your consumer who's buying it. And what I'm saying applies to business, business to consumer, nonprofit, and educational firms. Your customers are more important than your competitors. Your competitors are important to note if they have figured out something that you haven't. It could be a feature. It could be a distribution channel. It could be a way of packaging. It could be a marketing approach. So your competitors are more important to see what they are doing and if they figured out something that you should have and you want to maybe incorporate into what you're doing. But customers do not want to change vendors, do not want to change who they work with unless you give them a reason to.
If opportunities are a major key to growth, how do we find these opportunities? That's always the curiosity of everyone probably listening in.
Right. Well, opportunities are in our face every single day if we know how to recognize it and identify it. They're not necessarily labeled as opportunities, but we have to be open to what is going on. And that's really the core of our business, and it takes considerable skill. But if you want to do it for yourself, the one way I would say to do it is pay attention to what people usually ignore. And what they ignore is are things in their industry that are weird or surprising or different or unusual. Those are almost always the first signs of change. We laugh at what's weird or absurd because we don't recognize that there's something underlying it that signals something new. Now, you may not be able to figure out why it's important. So what I suggest that you do is capture anything that you've noticed. Again, that strange, weird, unconventional, goes against the grain of what your industry is doing. So capture it either electronically or manually and write it down just so enough so that you know what it means. Revisit it after a few weeks. I guarantee you that just the very fact that you've noticed it and you've written it down, you will notice other examples. Add those examples to your folder, and within a few more weeks or months at most, you will see how it's beginning to come together, and you will have ideas. Now, whether or not it's a good fit for your company is the next step. But the point is you want to recognize them, begin to see a pattern, begin to connect the dots, and then consider whether or not this is something you should take to the next step for your company.
Today we are joined by Sina Sharp, who is Principal and Managing Director of Sharp Market Intelligence. They deliver current, accurate, and relevant information for strategic decisions. She is also the author of the book Competitive Intelligence Advantage, How to Minimize Risk, Avoid Surprises, and Grow Your Business in a Changing World, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, what is the right information and what are some tips for finding that?
Well, the right information I define as information that is current, it's accurate, it's relevant, it's objective, and it's sufficient. So first, don't assume what you know is current. If you knew the same information 6 months ago or a year ago, it's not current. So you want to make sure it's as current as possible. How do you know if it's accurate? It has to come from a reliable source, and preferably more than one. So, for example, if you're looking for sales of something, if one source says 100 million and the other one says 105 million and 110 million, you're kind of in the ballpark. If one source says 100 million and the other one says 150 million, then you know that one of them is off, or the definition, what it's including, is different. So you want to get at least more than one source, and it has to come from a reliable source that's not blogs. Blogs are somebody's opinion, and unless they come from a highly regarded source who has vetted that information the same way a journalist would, you don't know how valid it is. Also, blogs very often are not dated, so you don't know if it was written last month or 5 years ago. So make sure it's accurate and comes from a reliable source. Number three, relevance. You know, there's so much information around us that we think as long as we get something that kind of dances around what we want to know, that that's good enough. It's not. It has to be on point. It has to be very relevant, or else you have just noise. You know, John Naisbitt wrote a book, Megatrends, many years ago, in which he said, we're drowning in information but starving for intelligence. Don't be confused between the two. There's a book out now by Nate Silva that talks about the signal and the noise. Again, we want to look for signals, not noise. So even if it takes longer to find it, you're far better off with relevant information. But the biggest issue is not having sufficient information. We make decisions based on very, 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 very limited information. The less information you have, the less likely it's accurate, it's solid, and it's relevant. So we live in a world of titles and headings and subheadings, and while they're accurate, they may also be misleading. So just think about almost any news story, whether it has to do with the government, society, or your industry. What you learn the first day is very often different than the news, the story that's developing the second day, or at the end of the week, or at the end of the month. So the more that you have, and the more that it comes from a reliable source, the more likely it is that it is good, solid information. So where do you find it? Well, we all go to Google. I go to Google. I love Google. Google is great, but Google is not a good source of information. If you want to use something that covers a wide base and that's easy, I suggest you use Google News or Bing, which is Microsoft's answer to Google. It's a little bit better for business information, still not sufficient and very often not relevant, but it may get you what you want depending on what you're looking for. Better to look at trade publications and good business publications such as Supermarket News or the Wall Street Journal or Fortune. Now, that means a lot more work and it means going to each publication separately, but you'll get much better information that way. If you have access through your college library or through within your company to one of the fee-based services such as LexisNexis or Factiva, that gives you access to hundreds of thousands of business sources, which is the best source for secondary or published information. Sign up for Google Alert. They're free, and you can get as many as you want. I have 6 for my business. In that way, that draws from a very wide variety of sources also, not likely to be the New York Times or Fortune, but it draws from a lot of sources, and you may find something you want, and you can scan it very quickly, and if after a few weeks you find that some of them aren't good, you can delete them or sign up for others. If you do most of your business in or near a big city, subscribe to the local business journal. It's less than $100 annually. There are more than 40 U.S. cities that have them. They're usually weekly publications of anywhere from 30 to 100 pages. It contains a huge amount of information about companies and what's happening in that town. It has names of people so you can easily identify who to call. It will discuss problems, opportunities, and threats, and reasons why businesses should meet with you. You know, all you'll read about issues that show that you know what's important for that company. So that's a very good source. And then I just strongly encourage you to attend association and other business gatherings, especially from related businesses, because that could be a very good way for you to show your expertise and for people to get to know you.
Sina, as we conclude, I understand that moments ago you just negotiated a speaking event here in São Paulo, Brazil. Tell us more about those details of the event, if you would.
Yes, I'm very excited. It's a conference company called IBRAMERC, I-B-R-A-M-E-R-C, and they're having a conference on June 11th and 12th in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and it's geared toward people in marketing and competitive intelligence and other business areas, and it's going to be a fabulous conference, and I'll be speaking there and doing a full-day workshop. So if any of your audience lives in Brazil or are going to be traveling through, come on down and say hello.
And if you would, Sina, tell our listeners where they can be in touch with you and get all the information about Sharp Market Intelligence.
Our website is sharpmarket.com, sharpmarket.com. You could learn all about our services there. You can find out information about the book, Competitive Intelligence Advantage, and you can read our Sharp Insights, which are very brief 200-word blurbs that come out about monthly that discuss market changes that are happening globally to stimulate ideas about what is changing and happening. That's how you keep ahead of the competition. That's how you continue to satisfy customers. That's how you attract new prospects to your business. So sign up for Sharp Insights. It's free.
Certainly appreciate you coming back to be with us. She is Sina Sharp, who is Principal and Managing Director of Sharp Market Intelligence. They deliver current, accurate, and relevant information for strategic decisions. She is also the author of the book, Competitive Intelligence Advantage, How to Minimize Risk, Avoid Surprises, and Grow Your Business in a Changing World. Sina would be a great speaker for your company or business association. She will shake up the conventional thinking about how you gain competitive advantage. Contact her today. And also buy her book. And the website of reference, once again, is sharpmarket.com. Sina, thanks so much for joining us again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks again, Eric.
You're welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.